All right, welcome back to Shmuel Beis. So we are learning Perek Tes Zayin. Perek Tes Zayin. So if you remember, in Perek Tes Vav, I know we didn't learn last week. Baruch Hashem, we had a couple of simchas last Monday night. But in Perek Tes Vav, if you remember, so Avshalom's rebellion begins, essentially. That was kind of 2 weeks ago, the beginning of Perek Tes Vav. And David runs. He runs, he flees Yerushalayim, he runs out, and he goes into, essentially into Galus. And then the second half of the parak is him negotiating with different individuals to figure out, you know, who's going to be his spies, and they're going to go back, and they're going to tell him everything that's going on from Avshalom's camp. Okay. We ended the parak, which will be important, with this fellow named Hushai. This was at the end of the perek, and Hushai, before that we saw that Achitofel, who was David's advisor, was loyal to Avshalom. He did not stay with David, but he was loyal to Avshalom, and that'll be important. And then also we have this fellow Hushai Ha'arki, and he came at the end of the perek. He was his clothing was torn. He had dirt on his head, and David said, "Listen, you want to come with me? Come with me, or if not, go back, and you can be a spy." And essentially, Hushai was going to be a spy for a secret agent for David. Okay, so now we begin with Perek Tes Zayin. V'David avar me'at meharosh. Now David moves a little bit from the rosh, from the top. Now, what are we talking about here? The Mefarshim say we're talking about Harazesim. Remember, he was, if you look at the Psukim, we discussed this in the last parak, that's where he was. He was on Harazesim. If you look at the Radak says it, Rosh Hazesim. So that's where he was. Matsudas David also, Begave Harazesim, that's where he was. And he begins to come down maybe from the top of Harazesim. Vihine Tziva Na'ar Mephibosheth, Likraso. And there's this fellow by the name of Tziva. Tziva was Nar Mephibosheth. He was a servant of Mephibosheth, right? One of his young people that helped Mephibosheth. Vitzemed Chamorim Chavushim. And he had with him a pair of donkeys, right? A yoke, a pair of donkeys that were saddled. Va'alehem Masayim Lechem. And upon these donkeys were 200 loaves of bread. Umeya tzimukim, 100 raisins, umeya kayitz, the Radak says refers to dried fig cakes. We'll see, it could really refer to any dried fruit, but specifically here was dried fig cakes, venevel yayin, and a flask of wine. This is what he had on these donkeys, like this offering, and this was again Tziva, this is Mephibosheth's servant.
That's yesterday's Mishnah, with the figs.
Yes, exactly. The fig cakes, right? Exactly. See, everything comes together. Trumos and Shmuel Beis. Okay, Pasuk Beis. Vayomer Amelech El Tziva Ma Eilalach. So David turns to Tziva. He sees the Tziva with all this stuff, and he says, "Nu, what do you have all this for?" Vayomer Tziva Hachamorim Leveis Hamelech Lirkov. He says that the donkeys are for your household, for people to ride. The Mefarshim say specifically for the women, for the children. Right, they ran out. They didn't have. They didn't prepare properly. They didn't have. The men can walk. The men can schlep. You know, the women and the children need to sit. So they didn't come out with wagons. They didn't come out properly. So therefore, he said these donkeys are for the women and the children to ride. We know that we learned that previously David brought his whole family out, except for the 10 pilagshim, which will be very important at the end of the perek. But the 10 pilagshim he left behind, the 10 concubines he left behind to guard the palace. And the bread and the dried fruit. And here it only says kayitz, it leaves out simukim. So we see that kayitz is really referring to all the dried fruit. But that's for the young people to eat. And anyone who's tired in the desert as they travel, the wine is for them to drink. So this is for you, essentially. Right? This is all for you and for your camp. So the king says, David says to him, V'ayei ben adonecha. Where is the son of your servant? Where is Mephibosheth's son? Vayomer Tziva el Amelech, Hine Yoshev Yerushalayim. So Tziva says to the king, you know, he stayed in Yerushalayim. He didn't want to come. He stayed in Yerushalayim. Ki Omar Hayom Yoshivu Li Beis Yisrael as Mamluchus Avi. He says, because now, maybe, Klal Yisrael is going to return to me the kingdom of my father. Okay, so this is a descendant of Shaul, and we see that essentially the Mephibosheth here is staying in Yerushalayim. And interestingly, the Malbim points out that he doesn't go with David. He also does not go to greet Avshalom. So he's trying to kind of stay parav. You know, he's not siding with either one. Why? Because he thinks, he doesn't know how this is going to turn out. Maybe Avshalom is going to win, but maybe David's going to win. Maybe Avshalom is going to kill David. And if I team up with David, if Avshalom kills David, so then he's going to judge me as a Morid B'Malchus. I'm with the wrong side. Yemifiboshes. Yeah. And he's thinking that maybe because of this, he actually thinks to himself, if Avshalom wins by killing David, so then maybe Bnei Yisrael are still going to judge Avshalom. How can you have killed David? And they're going to then kill Avshalom. Now who's left? Maybe it'll go back to my house. Maybe it'll go back to my family. That's why the pasuk says, maybe, ki omar hayom yoshivu li beis Yisrael es mamluchus avi. He had this possibility in his head that maybe this, the whole thing will go awry and the malchus will be returned to me. Fine. Now, it's interesting, but so why did Tziva come out? Right? If Mephibosheth, was too worried to come out, so why did Tziva come out? Why did he come out and bring David all of this stuff? So the Malbim says that, listen, the people that stayed in Yerushalayim were afraid of Avshalom. They weren't going to go to David. They were afraid of Avshalom. Tziva thought, listen, you know, I can get away with this because I'm a slave. So I can just throw my master under the bus. Right? So he says that if I come to David, I'm going to tell David, who's all this gift from? It's from me. Right? Not from my master, it's from me. And if Avshalom catches me, and he catches me bringing out all of this food and supplies to David, I'll tell him, it's not me, it's my master. So either way, I have something to hang my hat on, right? Whether David, gets me first or whether Avshalom gets me first, and I'm going to be okay. So Tziva wasn't worried about himself, and that's why Tziva was okay to go out. What does he have to gain? Yeah. I mean, if you supply David with supplies, if David wins, he's going to have a lot of akaras hatov, right? Okay, the Metzudas David also points out that part of the reason why that the Mephibosheth is still thinking here, maybe Yoshivuli based Yisrael as Mamluchus Avi, he says, look at all this drama in David's family, right? You have one brother kills another brother. And then after that story, now one of the sons turns on the father and rebels against the father and drives the father out of Yerushalayim. Look at all this drama. who wants all this drama? Who needs all this drama and this tension? We don't need it. So in the back of his mind, he's thinking maybe Bnei Yisrael is going to vote, forget all this tension and drama, get David's family out of here because they're just causing problems. And let's go back to Shaul. There was less drama with Shaul. The only drama with Shaul was when Shaul was chasing David, right? But Shaul himself, when he was the Melech, there was no drama, right? There was no internal family turmoil and politics. Here it's terrible what's going on between the brothers and the son and the father. It's terrible. So that's why they have this in their head. That's why Mephibosheth and his family has this in their head. Maybe it'll come back to us. Maybe it'll come back to Beis Shaul. Okay. Pasuk Dalet. Vayomer HaMelech Litziva. Hinei Lecha Kol Asher Mephibosheth. He says, everything that was coming to Mephibosheth, everything that Mephibosheth had, is now yours. So yes, what does he stand to gain? He gains. Right? David has Akar Satov to him. He's ready to give him anything. Vayomer Tziva, Hishtachavesi, I bow down to you. Emtzochein be'einecha, Adoni HaMelech. And I hope that I found favor in your eyes, Adoni HaMelech. Okay, now, very important and well-known story follows now in Pasuk Hei. Now, as the prelude to this story, the Malbim points out that David should not have taken Tziva at his word. Now, keep in mind, Tziva's being a little dishonest. right? He's kind of playing, you know, he's playing the fence here. You know, if had Avshalom caught him, he would have said it's from the Adon, it's not from me. You know, he's kind of playing a game, Tziva. So David really shouldn't have believed it. Because David believed him, David actually gets punished. And according to the Malbim, this is the punishment. Pasuk Hey. Uvo HaMelech David ad Bachurim. David is traveling. He comes close to Bachurim. Bachurim was the name of a place. He doesn't quite enter the city, but he's outside of the city. There was an individual from the house of Shaul. Remember, now, not remember, but Bachurim, the Mefarshim point out, is from Shevet Binyamin. It's a city in Shevet Binyamin. Shaul was from Binyamin, we know. Right? So this is somebody from the family of Shaul. And he's coming out of the city. Ushmo Shimi ben Gera. His name is Shimi ben Gera. That's this fellow's name. Yotze Yotzo Umikalel. And he's coming out screaming, cursing at David. Screaming and cursing at David. Now it's interesting. The Malbim points out that this also was an indication to David that his mazel had run out. His mazel had run out. Why? This whole time that he's running, nobody came out to greet him. Nobody came out to greet him. You know, you think the king is on the run. His supporters would come out. They would come out to greet him, come out to support him. Nobody came out. People were scared. Maybe Avshalom is going to be in power. We don't want to be caught, you know, on the wrong side of the fence. So nobody came out. Finally, the only one who came out was Shimi ben Gera. And how did he come out? He came out cursing. So this was an indication, says the Malbim, to David, that David, your mazel is running out. You're saying, well, why was he punished for it? Like, what was the chait? Right. But I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. Right. That's the question. Why is he being punished? What was the chait exactly? He should have been more careful, maybe. But still, why was it a chait? That's a good question. I'm not 100% sure. I have to look back at the Malbim. That's how the Malbim says it. But I have to look back. Okay. Pasuk Vav. Not only does he curse him, Vayisakel ba'avanim es David. The Malbim says that as he got closer, he started throwing stones at him. Vieskol avdei amelech. And he started throwing David and his whole entourage. David v'chola'om v'chola'at giborim mimino mismola. Everybody was around him. The soldiers, everyone. Shimi's just throwing stones. He's cursing them. He's throwing stones at them. Pasuk Zayin. And now he tells, now he clarifies what exactly is his problem. V'cho amar shimi bekalulo, and this is what Shimi is saying as he's cursing David. Say, get out of here. Now, get out of here doesn't mean leave the city. It means leave the malchus. You shouldn't be a melech. You're not worthy. You're not roi to be a melech. Why? Ish hadamim v'ish habliyal. You're a man of blood. You're a man of sin. What is this referring to? What is this referring to? So the Radak, the Mefarshim, he killed people. Who did he kill? Avner. Right? Avner. Ishbosheth. Uriah. Now there were a lot of people that died as a result of David. Now, sometimes it wasn't direct. Sometimes it wasn't really his fault. Sometimes it was his men. Okay. But at the end of the day, all these people lost their lives indirectly related to David HaMelech. Ish Damim. Right? Ish Adamim. What's Ish Ablial? Sinner? Batsheva. Says the Malbim. Batsheva. You're a sinner. You're a killer. You don't deserve this Malchus. Get out of here. Nobody wants you. Nobody wants you as our king. It's cursing him. His men didn't protect him, right? Okay, so you'll see in a minute why. Pasuk Ches, he keeps going. Heishiv alecha Hashem kol demei beis shol asher molachta tachtav. That Hashem is punishing you. Hashem is bringing back on your head all of the blood of Beis Shaul that you took the Malchus from him. And that's why Hashem is taking away the Malucha and giving it to Avshalom, your son. And here you're going to wallow in your evilness because you're a man of blood. You're a bloody person. Hashem is punishing you for the sins. All these people that you killed. The house of Shaul. Right? And the Malbim says that just like the house of Shaul was the Beis Hadamim, because Shaul and his descendants were killed, so to an extent, Shaul's house was the Beis Hadamim, now you're the Ish Hadamim. Now it's going to just come on you. You're going to die. Your life is going to be taken. And he was saying, according to the Malbim, that you're worse than Shaul in three ways. Why? Number one, he says, this is Hashem's clear indication that he's taking away your malucha. The fact that Avshalom now is rebelling, that's a clear indication that Hashem is taking away your malucha. Unlike Shaul's, which you took by force. Now again, that's not really the truth. Right? As we know from Shmuel, and we know that really Hashem was upset with Shaul. And Hashem did strip Shaul of the malucha. But according to the way Shimi ben Gera sees it, that's not what happened. David, you took the malucha by force. Now Hashem's taking away your malucha. You see that you don't deserve it. Not only that, but look, let me just finish these three. But look, who's taking over the malucha? Your son. What a busha. What an embarrassment to you that the one who's taking your malucha is your own son. What an embarrassment, what a busha. And finally, it's happening before your very own eyes. Shaul didn't see it. Shaul died, right? He didn't see the final takeover. When he died, he was still the king, right? So he didn't see the final takeover. Here, you're the king, and you're watching it slip out of your hands with your son taking it. So you see how terrible you are, how much Hashem doesn't want you to be the melech, because you're an Isha Adamim and Isha Belial.
Is he a personality? Came out of nowhere.
Came out of nowhere.
So nobody is sticking it to David HaMelech.
Right.
And then,
what would your response be?
Kill him right now. Mori b'machas.
Very good. So let's see.
Where is Nassim HaNavi?
That's a good question.
He should be the one in the background directing him, the way Shmuel did.
Right.
And he should be saying that David was put up by Shmuel on the voice of Hashem.
Right.
Where is he?
I don't know the answer to that. It could be Nevi'im didn't get involved in this kind of thing. You know, if there's a rebellion happening, you know, let them play it out. I'm a Navi. My job is to tell the messages that Hashem sends to me to B'nai Yisrael. My job is not to get involved. If people are fighting, let them fight it out. And, you know, whoever Hashem wants to win will win. Maybe. I don't know. Okay. Now, Pasuk Tes. Oh, this is Marvin's response. Marvin, you were Mechavein to Avishai ben Tsruya. Okay? Vayomer Avishai ben Tsruya el HaMelech. Avishai ben Tsruya. Avishai ben Tsruya. Okay? David, one of David's generals, turns to David el HaMelech. Lama yekala la'kelev ha'meis hazeh es Adoni HaMelech. This dead dog, right? It's obviously an insult, right? He's not even a live dog, right? He's a dead dog, right? This dead dog, what gives him the right to curse you? You're the king. Ebro navi asiras rosho. Let me go over there and I'll chop off his head. Right? This won't take long. You know, who is this guy? So that's what Avishai says. Okay? And it says in Mitzudas David, it's not just that Avishai was standing up in secret service, he's protecting David. Avishai also was coming with a lumdus and he was saying, he's wrong. The things that he's saying are not true. You're not Chayiv Misa, right? Because all these people died. They died. They had different circumstances. Avner, Uriah, right? Ishbosheth, they died from different circumstances. It's not your responsibility. It's not your responsibility. So not just that he has no right to curse you because he's the king, but he's saying things that are sheker. It's terrible. Let me kill him. Vayomer HaMelech. Listen to this. You see the godless, unbelievable godless, David HaMelech. Pasuk Yud. Vayomer HaMelech. Mali v'lochem b'nei Tsruya. He says, what do I and you have to say to this person? Okay, now we'll see in a minute what exactly that means. Ko yikalel. Essentially, let him curse. Ko yikalel, let him curse. Ki Hashem omar lo kalel es David. Because it must be that Hashem told him, go curse David. Umi yomar madua asisa kein. So who's now, if Hashem told him to do it, who are we to come and say, why are you doing it? He's doing it because Hashem told him to do it. Now, what does this mean exactly? So says the Malbim, David's argument is really twofold. If he's cursing on his own, it's meaningless. Who cares what this guy's saying? He's a nobody, right? Like Marvin says, this guy, he's a nobody. This person, he's not a person of stature. He's not a person that his word means anything. So if he's doing it on his own, he's upset, he's coming out and yelling and screaming, Who cares? Right? It's like a heckler. Right? You have, Lahavdil, you have a big sports player, you have a politician. There's always hecklers. Right? You can't pay any attention to these guys. You know, they're nobodies. And what they say is not going to mean anything. Right? So he's a heckler. Leave him alone. Let him yell and scream. Call your collar. Let him yell and scream. It just doesn't mean anything. Right? That's number one. Now, and if you're telling me that no, it does mean something. Why? Because maybe this is coming from the Ribono Shel Olam, really. He's the Shaliach Shimon ben Gera. But maybe this is coming from the Ribono Shel Olam. Well, if that's the case, then who are we to say anything? Who are we to respond? If this is really coming from Hashem, then who are we to respond? Now, it doesn't mean that this guy's a Navi. Shimon ben Gera was not a Navi. It's not coming directly from Hashem. But what it means, as the Mefarshim say, is that perhaps it's coming, that Hashem kind of put it in his head. Hashem, moved him to do it. Now, Rashi does point out, interestingly, that he was not a nobody. He was not a nobody. Rashi says he was somebody big. He was actually on the Sanhedrin, Rashi says. And part of David's hesitation here is that he's not a nobody. If it was just Stam a nobody, okay, fine. So we ignore him. But if he's not a nobody, if he's somebody who's on the Sanhedrin, he's a chashuv person, so why is he doing this? It must be that there's something to it. It must be that there's something in the background here. It must be that the Ribono Shel Olam is pulling the strings behind the scenes, and that's why this is happening. That's how Rashi puts it. But you see, it's unbelievable. You see the how David was just, he was willing to take it. If this is what Hashem wants, this person's a messenger from Hashem, it must be that that's where this is coming from. And therefore, that's it. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. Correct. Correct. So there is an element of kavod hamalchus, kavod haTorah. We find in general that David was not very machmir on his own kavod, right? That's the whole story with David and Michal that we learned, right? Where Michal was very upset. How could David act that way in public? And he said, "What are you talking about? I'm doing this for Hashem. I'm doing this for the Torah, right? For the Aron." So we find this concept that David kind of minimized his own kavod, for other things. So here too, if this is what Hashem wants, then who am I to say anything? Who am I to protest?
Rabbi, if everyone really thinks like that, well, this is what Hashem wants us, this world's going to be a mess.
In some ways it might be a mess, in some ways it might be very peaceful. But,
Yeah.
Okay. Pasuk Yud Aleph. No, but yeah, we can't just let Meshugayim, run amok. Okay. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ayomer David al Avishai v'yal kol avadov. He says, he turns to Avishai, he turns to all of his servants, and he says, "Listen, my son, my very own son, Avshalom, right? He literally came from me. He's now mevakesh es nafshi. He's running after me. He wants to kill me. He wants to take my life. Ve'af ki ata ben hayimini hanichulo v'ikalel ki omar lo Hashem." So he says, this fellow from Binyamin, meaning Shimi ben Gera, let him be. Let him be. It must be that Hashem said it to him. Now, what's the connection here, right? What's he saying? So the Mitzvot David says very interestingly. He says that according to the laws of nature, a son loves and respects a father. That's the laws of nature. That's the way Hashem set up the teva. So if I'm in a position where my son wants to take my life, so obviously we're not working within the realm of teva here. We're not working within the realm of nature. If we're not working within the realm of nature, that means that Hashem is running all of this. This is all Hashem's plan, because this is not the natural order of things. So if it's Hashem's plan, I have to lay off. So he's strengthening his argument. And he says, listen, I'm on the run. Shimi is from Binyamin. Binyamin, we know, they were never the biggest fans of David, right? They were the last to come on board because they were really fans of Beis Shaul. Okay? So it kind of makes sense. I don't have good mazel right now. So the fact that he's cursing me, I'm on the run. I ran out of mazel. It's not such a big deal. So he's downplaying it. Now the Malbim also says that he's strengthening this, and again he says, similar to what Rashi said before, that if Shimi was a chashuv person, he was on the Sanhedrin, he was a great person. So how could he do such a thing? What happened is bechira. We have bechira chavshis. Why would he choose to do such a thing? So how could it happen? So it must be that Hashem is changing the nature, right? Like the Metzudas David said, he's changing the Teva. And he says it's also, he says, but also it's not so against his nature for three reasons. Number one, the timing of it, right? As the Pasuk says, Ki'ata, right now, the timing, right now, I'm on the run. I'm not in a good place. So the fact that he cursed me, you know, kind of makes sense. Number two, Ben Ayamini, he's from Binyamin. He's from Binyamin, so he's one of my long sworn enemies, because that's Shevet Binyamin. And number three, Hanichulo Vayikalo. He's not trying to kill me. You know, if the guy was coming after me, he's trying to kill me, okay, that's one thing. He's cursing me, all right, you know, no. He's cursing me, he's heckling me. Okay, what's the big deal? Right? So similar to the Metzudas David, the Malbim puts it into the Pasuk a little bit stronger. Okay, Pasuk Yud Beis. Ula Yire Hashem Be'eni. Now we have Be'eni is the Kri. The Ksiv says, Be'avonai maybe. But Be'eni. Ve'heishiv Hashem li tova tachas kilolaso hayom hazeh. So Be'eni is my eyes. So according to Rashi and other Mefarshim, maybe it means that maybe Hashem will see my tears. Right? The tears that I'm shedding over this situation, maybe Hashem will see my tears. Others say maybe Hashem will see it's like my inyonai, or maybe oni, like my suffering. Okay, whatever it is, exactly. Hashem will see my tears, see my suffering, see what's going on with me. And because of this embarrassment, maybe Hashem will repay me with kindness. And we have this idea sometimes that when a person is embarrassed, so they have a certain kindness of Hashem that's coming to them. I remember hearing a story once that somebody went to a gadol, wanted a bracha. He says, don't get a bracha from me. Go find someone that's been embarrassed, ask a bracha from them. Right? Because someone's been publicly embarrassed, so then Hashem is going to look out for them. Hashem is going to listen to them. Hashem is going to hear what they have to say. And that's what he's saying. Maybe Hashem will take care of me. Now, David also recognizes that, listen, he says, you know, certain things I'm being punished for because of my sins. But David felt that this was extra, right? This Shimi ben Gera, this curse was extra, and he felt maybe this is already in the realm of Yisurin Shalava. We have this concept in Chazal of Yisurin Shalava. The Gemara talks about that a person sometimes suffering can be suffering that comes from a place of love, and it actually helps a person. Right? It's not a punishment. It's coming from a place of love, and it helps a person. So that also, you know, he was thinking maybe this is Yisurin Shalava. Maybe that's what this is. And that's why he said, maybe I'm going to get something good out of this incident, this Yisurin Shalava. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayelech David v'anoshav ba'darech. So David and his men, again, they kind of ignore Shimi ben Gera. They keep walking. V'shimi holech b'tzeila ha'har le'umaso. But Shimi's not giving up. He walks alongside them. Haloch v'vayikalel v'yisakel ba'avonim le'umaso v'ipar be'ofar. He's walking, and as he's walking, he's cursing, he's throwing stones, he's throwing dirt, right? He's doing all sorts of terrible things to David. And this is as he's walking. And again, the Malbim says, why didn't David just run away? You know, you just run away from the guy. Well, David didn't run away again because in the back of his mind, he's thinking, maybe this is Yisurin Shalava. Maybe this is something positive. Maybe I'm going to get schar, you know, from this. Maybe this is going to be good for me in the long run. Pasuk Yedalid. So obviously, David and his men are very tired, and they rest there in Bachurim, right outside of Bachurim. Okay? Pasuk Tezvav. It's a relatively short parak. We'll try to do the whole parak tonight. Pasuk Tezvav. V'avshalom v'chol ha'am ish Yisrael bo Yerushalayim v'achito felito. And Avshalom and all of his men come to Yerushalayim, and Achitofel is with him, as we learned at the end of last parak. Achitofel, who was David's advisor, is now, right, he's forgetting about David, and he's joining ranks with Achitofel. Oh, I'm sorry, with Avshalom. Pasuk Tes Zayin, Vayhi kasher ba Hushai ha'arki, Reye David. Oh, but Hushai ha'arki, that we learned about at the end of last parak, was David's secret agent, was his spy, his friend. He comes El Avshalom. Vayomer Hushai el Avshalom, Yechi Amelech, Yechi Amelech. So Hushai, he's got to maintain his cover. So he says to Avshalom, Yechi Amelech, long live the king, long live the king. Vayomer Avshalom el Hushai, Zech Hastecha Esreyecha. Avshalom knew that Hushai and David were friendly, were acquaintances. So he says, this is the kindness that you pay to your friend, meaning to David, to my father. Why are you coming to me? How come you didn't stick with him? Why didn't you stick with David?
Right? Where does he say the same thing?
I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. It could be that Hushai was a real friend. Achitofel maybe was an advisor. More of like a cabinet minister. Okay, so, you know, you go with this government, you go with that government. But Mehushai, it seems, was more of a Reya. You know, the Pasuk calls him a friend. So why didn't you go with him?
Rabbi,
Pasuk, yeah.
At this time, the mind always brings up that David had leprosy.
Oh, really?
Therefore, lost his royal status.
Interesting.
He had permission to talk the way he did.
Very interesting. I didn't know that. Okay, it must be a medrash. Very interesting. Okay, good. Pasuk Yudches, Vayomer Hushai Elav Shalom, Lo Ki Asher Bachar Hashem, I'm sorry, Lo. He says to Avshalom, no. Ki Asher Bachar Hashem V'ha'am Hazeh V'chol Ish Yisrael, Lo Eheyeh V'ito Eshev. Hushai says, no. I'm loyal to the king. I'm loyal to the king. Whoever's the king, that's who I'm loyal to. So if David was the king, I'm loyal to him. If you're the king, I'm loyal to you. Right? I loved your father, but I didn't only follow him. I followed him because that was the right thing to do. But now, if you're the king, now the right thing to do is to follow you. The Radak points out there's a kri and a ksiv towards the end. B'cholish Yisrael, lo. So the ksiv is with an aleph, lo with an aleph, which means not. And the kri is with a vav, lo means to him. So the kri, essentially the meaning is the same, says the Radak. But the kri is that I will be loyal to whomever is chosen. Lo eheyeh, with a vav, right? Lo eheyeh, I will be loyal to him. The ksiv, if you read it how it's written, lamed aleph, lo, is like a rhetorical question, right? Will I not be loyal to whomever is chosen? If you're chosen as the king, I have to be loyal to you. But it's the same idea either way, just in terms of how you read it. Pasuk Yutes. Ashenis, lemi ani e'evod. Halo lifnei vino, kasher avarati lifnei avicha, kene aye lefanecha. And he says, furthermore, secondly, it's not like I'm abandoning him to go to some stranger. I'm leaving him and I'm going to his son. Right, Avshalom, you're the son. So it's not so crazy. I'm not a traitor. I'm staying in the family. Right? So what's the big deal? Just like I was loyal to your father, I'm going to be loyal to you now. Right? And says the Mitzudas David, you know, it's not like I'm supporting the house of Shaul. Right? I'm supporting your house. It's still the base David. You know, it's just David's son. Okay? So Avshalom buys it. Pasuk Chaf, now Vayomer Avshalom Al-Achitofel, Havu Lachem Eitza Manasseh. So now he turns to Achitofel and he says, give us an Eitza. Right, Lachem is either the royal we, says the Radak. You know, he's speaking that way as the king. You know, give us an Eitzah. Or he's saying, give us an Eitzah. You know, our advice, you know, me and my advisors. Meaning, what was the issue here? What was the issue? So Rashi really says that in the next Pasuk. But Rashi says that he knew people were not committing to him 100%. People were not really really following behind him. Why? Because they were nervous. You know, listen, Avshalom right now is rebelling against his father. Maybe he's going to have charata. Maybe Avshalom is going to regret what he's doing. And he's going to say, you know what, forget this. I'm going to go back and make peace with my father. All these people that supported Avshalom's rebellion, what's going to happen to them? David's going to say, okay, all of you chevra that supported the rebellion, you know, now I'm going to put you all to death. So they were scared. People were nervous to just follow in line with Avshalom because he was David's son. And they thought maybe he's going to come back. He's going to come around. And he's going to make peace with his father. So people were kind of laying low. So Avshalom turns to Achitofel. He says, what should I do? I need support. I need people behind me. What can I do? So Achitofel says to him, you know, you have to do something that shows that you're breaking ranks with your father and you're never going back. And you're never going to listen to this. Wild, right? Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayomer Achitofel el Avshalom. Bo El Pilagshe Avicha, Asher Hiniach Lishmur Habayis. Your father left 10 Pilagshim, 10 concubines behind to guard the palace. Go and have relations with them. Sleep with them. If you do that, everyone will know there's no going back. Everyone will know that there's no way you're going to make peace with your father after that. Vishoma Kol Yisrael Kiniv Ashta Es Avicha. Everyone will hear that you've spoiled your father. Literally, like, you know, the relationship is totally spoiled. It's done. V'chazku yidei kol asher itach. And then everybody will see that you mean business, and they're all jump in line behind you.
What's the bottom line purpose of doing, it's like despite David?
Yeah, well, essentially.
Don't we know he's already rebelling with the Chevron?
Correct. But again, according to the way Rashi says, that people were hesitating. People were hesitating. So this is something that would show he's not going back. Yeah.
Is that Arayos?
So it's not. It's a good question. It's not technically Arayos because they're not his wives. Now again, it's not mutter. Right? I don't think it's mutter, but it's not technically Arayos. I don't think. I didn't see the halachic discussion about this. But
a concubine, like his co-wife, Rabbi?
Yeah, but it's not a real wife. There's no chuppah and kiddushin.
Right.
So it's not. It doesn't reach the level of arayos. Okay. It could be. We saw something about this a long time ago. I'm trying to remember what the context was. It actually came up in the Mefarshim a long time ago. I'm sorry? No. I think it was in Shmuel. With David, maybe with Shaul. I have to look again. It came up once before. And there is something to that maybe once if he's not with them, then maybe you can. Maybe it's not Usser. But then there's an issue with the Pilegesh of a Melech. I have to look back. I have something in my head about this though that we encountered this once before, but I don't remember offhand. Okay. Oh, but if you do this, he says, that's everybody will recognize there's no going back, and they'll support you. Pasuk Chav Beis, Vayatu le'avshalom ha'ohel al ha'gog. So they set up tents on the roof. This way, everyone could see that he was going to do this. Right? He was in a tent. I mean, they weren't seeing the actual ma'isa, but they could see that he was going in. Vayavo avshalom el pilak she'aviv le'ineb kol Yisrael. Everybody saw that he was going into their tents. He was sleeping with them. Everybody saw this is what happened. And what happens? Va'atzas achitofel ashayotz v'yomim ohem kasher yishal ish bidvar ha'elokim. Achitofel was like, he was the advisor. You know, someone, it's a question what the ish is here. Is ish just anyone who would ask, or is it specifically referring to David? But when David or anybody would ask a shayla v'achitofel, it was like, you know, mipi agvura, you know, his etzas. Cain kol atas achitofel gam le David gam le Avshalom, and this was so. The Radak says that what the pasuk is saying here is that this was actually good advice. It wasn't a nice thing to do, obviously, but it was good advice because it worked. It worked. People saw that he was absolutely breaking ranks with David and was not interested in repairing the relationship. And then people said, "Okay, he means business. This is serious. We can now fall in line behind Avshalom. We don't have to worry that he's going to make Shalom and make peace with David, and we're going to get in trouble." So they all, you know, the Eitzah worked. The Eitzah was a good Eitzah. Again, it wasn't so nice, but you know, we're not in a nice territory here. But the Eitzah was a good Eitzah, and the Eitzah worked for people to support Avshalom. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight, and Amir Tzah Hashem, next week we will pick up with Perak Yud Zayin.